You are now listening to the Friends of Rugby podcast. Relax your anus. Balls. Thick thighs. Camille Chat. Where's his neck? Eddie Jones. You're fucked, mate. We're nice now.
All right, we're recording.
Nice.
How you doing?
Good. Nice. Hello. Sunny weather, eh? Sorry.
Oh, yeah, we got some sun.
Yeah.
Hello, friends. You're listening to the Friends of Rugby.
Start again. Oh, shit.
What?
Start again.
No, we're going to keep going.
No, I interrupted you.
That's okay.
We like to keep our weird
people
shit.
Like the rawness.
Fuck.
I'm going to keep it going.
All right.
Please like and share. Podcast,
please.
You're listening to the Friends of Rugby podcast, brought to you by Mug Root Beer.
Now we got to cut it. You can't.
People are going to think we're high.
Kind of random product placement. Can you?
I think so.
Maybe they'll like reach out and be like, "We really liked your."
They can't block us.
I don't know how it works. No one fucking listens anyway.
Yeah, we're going to talk about. Yeah. We got millions of listeners.
Okay.
Anyways, okay, let's get in it for real.
Okay.
All right.
Welcome.
Welcome. How you doing?
Great.
Good?
Yeah. How are you?
Good.
Nice.
The weekend was full of some good rugby drama.
I am sad that the Munster-Northampton game was so early, like 5 a.m. for us.
I got up and watched it.
Did you?
Yeah, I got up and watched it.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you didn't.
Yeah, I knew you weren't going to do it.
No, fuck that.
Yeah, I got up. I set an alarm. I went to bed early.
You got up at 4:30 on a Sunday.
No, it was on at 5:30. I got up at 5. And then I went downstairs and I made tea. No, I made coffee, some breakfast.
Yeah.
Dogs came down with me.
We'd have the opposite problem if we lived in New Zealand for the Champions Cup, wouldn't we? Like, we'd have to stay up real late.
Is it? I think it's on early in the morning, too. It's like opposite.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. What I'm saying is I'm better at staying up late. You're better at getting up
early. No, the games are on at like 2:30, 1 a.m.
But it's sort of the same but different, isn't it? Because I wouldn't mind staying up till 2 to watch a game.
Okay, so when the rugby championship's on, we're gonna you're gonna be there at 2 o'clock in the morning to 4 in the morning.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Yeah,
I can stay up. I just don't like getting up.
I'm gonna hold you to that.
Fine, you're the one
because we're gonna be watching those games.
So you know.
Yeah. Well, what I would do when I'd watch the rugby championship games, I would go to bed at like 7 or 8 o'clock.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
And then I would get up at like 2 a.m.
I can't sleep if it's earlier than like 11 o'clock at night. I just can't sleep.
My brain is
like, let's do shit.
I'm an early...
I know.
I'm like an 80-year-old man.
Well, so the thing is, I keep trying to say to you, like, I don't like this idea that the early fucking risers rule the world, you know? I do my hardest work at midnight, and you're like, oh, bright and early, you lazy fuck. I'm like, no, actually, I was busy last night, you know? I'm not getting up at 5 a.m.
You weren't busy.
I fucking was. What I was doing isn't any of your business.
Well, we did get a lot of rugby in.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I feel like we watched the worst game in terms of like the scoreline, though.
Oh, the...
Racing Toulouse.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy that game.
Do you know how that game cut off on us?
I didn't know it did. Yeah, we missed the last 10 minutes, didn't
okay.
we?
Okay. Yeah. No, it was like the last half hour.
Really?
Or something like that. Yeah. But you know how it cut off? That happened in a lot of other places.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that wasn't just like us.
Right.
So a lot of other networks like cut the game.
Because I went on Reddit and I could still see people talking about the scoreline. So I assumed it was just our shitty connection.
Yeah. So I guess some people in the UK where they were watching it got cut off.
Yeah. Because it just went green screen, didn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't even blue. It was
just
green.
Just went. It was just gone.
Yeah. And then it cut to a rugby league game between Wales and the Cook Islands from... I was like, what the fuck is this?
They always show that on that fucking shitty service that I use.
Yeah, which will remain nameless for a little while.
I don't want to give them any credit.
But we're not doing anything illegally, are we?
No.
No, we are not. And genuinely, we're not.
Well, I'm not allowed to have it in my country.
That's why we're sponsored today by VPN.
So I'm not technically. Yeah.
Okay.
But
Should we start at the start then with the Champions Cup matches? As in chronologically.
Yeah, let's start with them.
Glasgow Harlequins, I think, was the first game.
I thought I was going to be right on this call.
I think I was right on that.
You called Harlequins.
I did, didn't I? Yeah, thank
but
God.
But I called. Right. I thought you were recording them all.
In my head.
Oh my God.
Which isn't a reliable place to record no, that spreadsheet.
It's the least reliable.
Was abandoned after week two.
That's the least reliable spot to have this fucking thing.
I just was so shit at predicting things, I just stopped.
Because the game started, Harlequins kind of like hit it out at the gate.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, fuck. Yeah. It's like, come on, Glasgow.
Yeah.
And then Glasgow just made like a super comeback.
They did.
And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
I'm a god. I know what I'm doing. And then that's fucking. Yeah. Because it was like, I think at like halftime, I didn't watch the game, but I think at halftime, it was like 21-7, 21 something.
Yeah.
And then like Glasgow crawled back into the lead. And then like, and then Harlequins took a yellow card. Fucking Marler.
Yeah.
I don't know what for. It was, they were probably building up.
I think it was just in several infringements.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And then Harlequins just did some magic.
Harlequins did Harlequins things.
Yeah.
Coming back from behind, leaving it to the last minute.
So, oh man, Glasgow fans got to be sad.
I feel for them. I was excited for this game because they're like both really similar styles of play, you know? And I think the scoreline kind of shows that, and I'm a bit sad. I think Harlequins are my favorite English team to watch because of their sort of attacking style. And I think Glasgow and maybe not Ulster, but previously Ulster were two of my favorite URC teams to watch. So I'm glad they kind of, you know, lived up to the bill, but I am a bit sad for Glasgow. I would have liked to have seen them go through.
Yeah, I honestly thought they were going to win this game. Yeah. I was convinced that they were coming in and win this game.
Mm.
Harlequins are good, but they're like a hot and cold team. Sometimes they crush teams, and then other times they don't. Like they get crushed. Like I think the Saracens crushed them like not too long ago.
They did, yeah, they did.
And so I was like really hoping. And Glasgow have been like consistently good.
Yeah, I think what I wanted to say though with both teams, I don't think they've got the power and the physicality to have won it. So I don't think Harlequins will win their next game.
You think they've gotten as far as they can get?
I think so. Yeah. I think the same would have been true of Glasgow if they'd have got through as well.
I agree with you.
But that's sad in a way because you see the Champions Cup in the last few years has been about who's got the biggest boys, right?
That's kind of been rugby in general.
It has. There have been years where...
Like who's won the last two World Cups?
Yeah.
The big boys.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are, you know, New Zealand are a good example of that not always being the case. I remember when the Pro 12/14 had a few years where it was like Connacht, Scarlets, then Glasgow won it with some pretty exciting rugby. But yeah, recently, like we were talking about athletes being pretty big then. Now they're kind of the France national team. They're fucking monsters, aren't they? So that's the way it's going to be now.
Whoever has the biggest boys.
Speaking of monsters.
But look at, you know, when you think about that, what team breaks that mold?
That's what I'm saying. New Zealand historically.
Yeah, or at club level.
At club level historically, it would have been like Glasgow Scarlets when they won the Pro 12 or
14. What about right now?
There aren't any. Not that win it.
Leinster?
No, because they've got big boys. Their power game is good. They've got an all-court game, but they definitely are physical.
Because I don't think they have the biggest guys. And they front up.
That's what they can match teams physically though. Yeah. I don't think Glasgow or Harlequins can do that in the same way. That's what I'm saying.
No, I agree with you.
Should we talk about the most controversial game of the weekend, Bulls and Leon?
Yeah, this game pisses me off.
It pissed a lot of people off.
Like if you look at this score.
Yeah. 59-19 to the Bulls.
Yeah. And you're like, what the fuck's going on here? And
yeah.
Yeah, so I guess the story is Leon just left everyone back at home.
That's what people are angry about.
Yeah, and they just like they're like, "Fuck it, we don't care."
Yeah, feels
like
that way.
Man, you should get punished for that. There should be some sort of punishment. Like, I feel bad for the people that spent their money to go to that game.
Mm.
You know, to watch like a knockout stage game, and then you just bring your B team.
Yeah,
you just bring the guys from the parking lot. Hey, do you guys want to play in fucking South Africa on the weekend? Sure. Like, it's so insulting. It's insulting to the tournament. It's insulting to the fans.
Yeah.
It's just insulting to the spirit of the game. Like, why would you... Because it's not even like... Because I know people will bring up Leinster.
Yeah.
How they did it the other year. But yeah. Leinster legit thought they had a shot at winning both.
They did.
Right? And, you know, and their squad, like, they got two A teams almost. So I don't think that, like you can compare, those two are comparable, but like Leon just was just, fuck it. Mm. Like that's what the mentality was.
How,
like, I know they're like kind of, they're like third from the bottom.
Yeah.
And the top 14 still has the regulation. So they're kind of like, they're trying to picking their battles.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It's just insulting all around.
I think that, I agree with you mostly.
I think that you were going to bring up Leinster, and I kind of...
No, you already did.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know, you're right as well. I'm not going to disagree with that. I think probably a talk about like resources, you know, it shows you that this isn't an equitable tournament, right? Like some teams just have a lot more money and resources, right?
Yeah, so Leon...
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying Leon a poor mind.
Yeah,
like
they're French not a poor league. Club.
No, they're not.
So there's even less excuses, yeah. Right? Like these guys can... Yeah. Like,
but like you said, they're trying to avoid relegation, which is... You know, as a North American, you never really have the fear of relegation in any of your professional sports, right? It's a big fucking deal. Because you're not only losing... You lose money if you get relegated in
it's just,
these European leagues, you know?
It's just, as a fan, you have this tournament where all these teams from different leagues play in one thing and compete against each other. It's like a dream scenario.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't even imagine doing that in a lot of other professional sports.
No.
And you get this great opportunity, and it's just, I find it so insulting.
Yeah. I mostly agree with you. I think there's some nuance, but I think, yeah, if you're in the knockout stages of the Champions Cup, take it fucking seriously.
Yeah, like, why even be in the tournament?
Yeah, well, they won't be next year,
like,
will they?
No, like, drop out of the tournament. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they need to... Like, when they choose the teams to go into the Champions Cup, like, maybe change that so you have the current best teams.
Rather than... Well, there's no other way to do it than the best teams from the previous year, though, is there? There's no other way to do it.
Because, well, I don't know how many...
You can't just start in, like, October and be like, okay, it's you guys, you're up there. Because that would be early season and you're still figuring out who's good and who's bad.
I'm just trying to think about, like...
There's no way around it except for maybe, like you said, fining a team for putting out... But you can't, like... They would say, well, that was the best squad we had available. I agree. Like, if I was a Bulls fan, I'd be pissed off, not only because of that, but also you're going into a quarterfinal undercooked now because you've played a second-rate team, right?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So that's what they would be rightfully pissed about, right?
Yeah, they just got to run in the park.
Yeah.
So it'd be good for the kids. Mm. The kids, like kids that went to the game.
Yeah.
This
isn't a development tournament, is it?
Like watch the Bulls like destroy a team.
Yeah.
Like that would be good for, if you're a kid, you'd love that.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I think when you're an older, like an adult, like that really loves the sport.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to see that.
Mm. Yeah, I don't really have any hot takes or disagreements with you, I think.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, there's definitely...
The fans are the losers in this situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The fans are the real losers.
Yeah, if you paid money for the ticket for that, you'd be kind of upset.
Yeah, I would
be
pissed.
Yeah.
Like, I buy tickets and then...
How often are they going to play a French team in the year, right? Not that often.
Right? Yeah. At home?
Yeah.
Like, that's great. That's a great opportunity to have this, like, top 14 club travel down.
Yeah.
And you just don't even take it serious.
Yeah.
Fuck Leon. I hate Leon forever now.
Okay.
My least favorite...
I like their badge. Little wolf.
Little creepy little wolf. Creepy fucking wolf thing.
I like their badge. I'm sticking up from there. Exeter Bath.
Exeter Bath.
I watched
Bath.
This one.
Did you watch this one?
Yeah,
okay, I didn't watch this one.
Yeah.
I did hear that Welsh legend Faye Wabosso
had a game.
Had a fucking game.
He did have a game, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Finn Russell got injured in that game as well, actually.
Yeah, like, he did. And 14 minutes in.
Yeah, I think he might have been out. He might be out for a little while.
Yeah, so, yeah, and Redpath, he got injured too right after halftime. So
yeah.
They lost their 10 and their 12 in that game.
Yeah. I think, like, that's sad, but Exeter just also just looked the better team, to be honest. So.
I think Exeter is going to be the team of teams, like, was it Rob Baxter?
Yeah.
Like what he's doing with those young, like they got a young team.
Young Welsh team.
And they're already like overachieving.
Yeah.
Like this is going to be like a dynasty team.
You think so?
Yeah. They're just going to get better.
They've already been good though. Like, you know, they were good a few years ago, right? They won the Champions Cup.
Yes, but they had like a different squad.
They did have a totally different squad. I think the difference this time is I do think their forwards are a bit uncreative. Like, as much as I love Dav Jenkins...
That's harsh.
It is harsh. But, like, what I mean is, like, they're big, hard-working guys, but they're not someone like Ben Earl or who's like running, or Zach Mercer, who's like, you know, creative with the ball.
I think they're just young and inexperienced, and I think they're playing by the rule book, that like they're playing by the system.
Yeah.
Really well.
Yeah.
And as they get older, as they get more experienced, they're going to like experiment more.
Yeah. Okay.
With their play style in the game.
You're going to grow into it.
Yeah. And they're going to get way, you know how you like start a job and you're not really comfortable in the job.
Yeah.
And then as you get more and more into it,
you get a bit more relaxed.
You get more relaxed.
Start playing with the rules a bit.
Yeah. You start fucking around a little bit, and then you just can like, you know, you make, you do, you find out how to do things faster and better and stuff. And
you're just
more confident.
Yeah.
Like, That's what I think Exeter is going to turn into. Exeter is going to turn into a team, like a dominant team.
But, I mean,
I would put money on it.
Fair enough. I think the take home is that Rob Baxter is a really good coach as well.
He's a really good coach.
Class, yeah.
And I think they got some really good players.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I think you see it. I think you see it. I'm calling in here.
All right.
I don't think
they're going to be bad. I think you're right, but I can't see someone like, I know the Welsh players better, obviously.
Yeah.
Guys like Christchunza, Dav Jenkins, they are not... They're hard workers, they're physical, but their footwork isn't impressive. They get through their tackles and they carry well. I don't see them doing a lot else yet. Hopefully that's just a yet.
Yeah, because they're still kids.
They are kids. They're right? Totally kids.
So but, they're still... And I think they're...
But you look at someone like Tommy Reffel. Like, he's an amazing turnover specialist.
Yeah.
But he's not a ball carrier, is he? He's not like he's not like a fast seven like Justin Tipperick or someone, you know? Like, so that's what I'm saying. That's what the mold I see. I'm happy to be proved wrong. But I don't disagree. I think they'd be a good team in the future.
Yeah, I think what your worries are things that are gonna like get unfolded over time.
And Baxter's good at developing people, isn't he?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, totally. Evidently.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bath got fucked up in this game.
Yeah, I think the lesson for Bath is like they've been pretty shit for a while, to be honest. You
Who's
know?
Their backup 10? He has like a wicked name. It's like Orlando something.
Oh, I can't remember. You're all right though.
I just love his his fucking name. It's such a rock star name, what is it?
Orlando Bailey. Yeah.
14 minutes. Orlando Bailey. I fucking love that name.
For the Miami Dolphins.
From Orlando Bailey coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Good on Exeter, because I know they got a pounding last weekend in the Prem.
Yeah, they did.
And they were kind of sad. They were like real sad.
They were.
They deserved this.
I just feel not that much sympathy for Bath either. Like, they've been kind of playing well with Finn Russell, but he's not a magic bullet, and as soon as he goes away you just see the old Bath a bit, like they're just a bit mediocre for the boring
Bath
a little bit, and they're just not creative and they don't have the players to do what they want to do, right? Like, you can't just have one player change the team, you know?
Yeah, they got disrupted bad and they just couldn't cope.
Yeah,
their plan B is kind of a concern.
That's it.
And I think Finn Russell might be out for a while.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
he got like a groin injury.
Yeah. Groins are bad.
And Redpath went out with an ankle injury.
Yeah. They're less bad, but it could, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
So, but I think like Finn Russell might be out for a while.
Mm.
Like, if he pulled his groin, that's a long recovery.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
So, like, that sucks for him and Bath, but also fuck Bath. So,
I don't have the same hate for them you have for Leon. I'm just saying they need to have a bit more of a plan than just Finn Russell fix things, you know?
Yeah, help us, Finn Russell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But I don't know, you gotta... That's rugby. Rugby's a contact sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, and shit like this
it's
happens.
It's not like they're not physical, though. Whatever. I don't care about that.
I'm excited for Exeter next week, but we'll talk about that.
Oh, we will.
Yeah.
Oh, we will. Yeah. My personal game of the weekend, though, is Stormers versus La Rochelle. Because of the drama, the last minute kick.
Oh my God, I watched this game too.
Yeah, I watched this one.
Both these teams, like, at different points in the game, were like basically trying to lose the game.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shit show, wasn't it?
Like, it was kind of a shit show. Like,
yeah.
And it started off with like the Stormers just like coming hot out of the gates.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy fuck, they're just gonna like roll over La Rochelle.
Yeah.
And then La Rochelle's like power game, and they got some quality
Their
operators
sub-bench
coming
was
off.
Pretty impressive as well, isn't it?
And they came back into the game, and then it was just like, because it was all Stormers, and then all of a sudden it's all La Rochelle.
Yeah.
Right. And then fucking Will Skelton takes like the dumbest yellow card. That could have been easily a red card for me.
We were talking about it on the weekend, weren't we? We were saying it was reminiscent of that Darcy Swain incident where he really kind of maliciously mangled someone's leg in a ruck. Yeah. I don't think it was deliberate with from Skelton, but it was so stupid.
Yeah, because he completely fucking free willies over the ruck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then trying to grab the ball, and then just takes out this guy's leg.
Yeah.
And I saw that, and I was like, oh man, like you could have argued a red there. He's lucky.
He's one of the largest humans I've ever seen play rugby as well. If he falls on your leg at the wrong way, like you may have to get
amputated.
It was just
so dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. So watching that game, it was like at both points, it was also super windy.
Yeah, every game this weekend was windy, wasn't it?
Every game, windy. Yeah. Wind was a thing.
Because I was telling you there was some kind of storm in Europe, but you told me rightly, this was played in South Africa. That entire longitude had some fucking wind this weekend, didn't it?
Yeah, you could see the wind on the camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then where do the Stormers play? Cape Town? I'm pretty sure they play in Cape Town. I'm just going to say that.
I feel bad for South African people who may or may not live. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Pretoria is where the Bulls play.
At the bottom of the earth.
Lions play in Johannesburg. Red and blue make purple.
And also that LeBoc and Damian Williams,
sir.
Man, that's
a spicy
pairing. Those guys are they're good.
They're really good players if they've got the ball in their hand. Neither of them are kicky boys, though, are they?
Oh, man. No. LeBoc had some, sick crossfield kicks. No,
yeah, I mean, that, kicking out a hand is great, but, I don't want them to be remembered for their place kicking, because they're both class players,
LeBoc's place kicking has always been a question.
But
to be fair, it was fucking...
It was windy.
It was windy as fuck.
Yeah.
Right? So you couldn't rely on...
But that's what I'm saying. I'm upset by that, because a casual fan would remember them both in a Springbok jersey as being guys who aren't good at place kicking. But they're fucking incredible if you give them the ball to run around with, right?
Oh, they're great.
Yeah. So...
they were... Both of them were just creating stuff all over the park.
They were. Yeah.
But...
Aldrete had a game. Gregory Aldrete had a hell of a game.
Man, he's one of my favorite players.
Me too. I like him. Do you know his dad is Scottish?
Oh, really?
I heard that, yeah. Yeah.
He's a hard man.
He is a hard bastard. He doesn't look that big either. I mean, sure, he's massive, but he looks pretty lean for a an eight. You know,
he gives me he's a lot like Tyke Byrne.
He is a lot like Tyke Byrne. You're totally right. Yeah, shows up at the right place at the right time.
Yeah, he's always in the right place at the right time. He's got his hands everywhere.
He does.
He's
in
the mix all over the place. He's turning over balls.
He is.
He's changing games.
Proper grafter, eh?
Yeah,
he is. He's a total game changer. Yeah.
I don't even know who is better, but I would even
I'd say Tyke Byrne is a better player overall, but yeah, Aldrete is.
Oh man, Aldrete, I've seen Aldrete win games.
Mm. Yeah.
Take games into his own hands. He took this game into his own hands.
He did. Yeah, he really did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because man, they got you know what was also surprising too? How the scrum too was I thought La Rochelle is going to have an advantage there.
Mm.
I know they're going to South Africa and the South African scrums, though, but that pack. But I thought the scrum was pretty even. They're both all a little bit all over the place.
I didn't like the reffing, to be honest, around the scrum. To be honest, I don't know. I won't get into that.
Oh, that's the worst when you get the bad ref day for the scrum.
Yeah.
You can't really handle the scrum.
And you look like you're winning the scrums, but the ref's like, man, I don't think so. Someone's playing checkers in there or something.
That's the worst part about rugby. The reffing of the scrum is probably the worst part, because it's you're watching a game and then he just calls a penalty, and a lot of times you don't even know.
And he can't see 50% of it.
They don't even
you could see a violation on your camera side and the ref won't see it. Why don't you just have a ref by the side and they're doing little hand signals to each other, you know?
They also don't ever let the audience know. Why aren't the commentators saying something?
I think even the refs are fucked off with it, you know? They're just fucking do it again. And they're why? Just fucking do it again.
This was the game where I think the last 10 minutes was all scrums too.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you talking about horrible? I could watch 10 minutes of
I love
scrums.
Scrumming. I do. I meant the reffing of it. I didn't agree with some of it, you know? But, you know, one thing I will say, though, is I am happy a French team won in South Africa. I don't like this idea that it's impossible to win in South Africa, you know?
Yeah. So. I do too. I thought, you couldn't have asked for anything better. Because I can't remember how I called this game. I predicted it.
I wish I had a spreadsheet that told us our predictions.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, if we had a spreadsheet.
Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, remember when you had that thing?
I think I called it. I can't remember.
Yeah.
No, do you know what? I can't remember. Whatever.
Because I probably would have called the Stormers.
I think I usually give. if they're sort of similar on paper, I usually give it to the team with home advantage.
And the Stormers almost won this game anyways. They lost at the end by a kick.
Yeah, it didn't and feel like a crushing loss, right? Like, well, it was crushing if you're a Stormers fan, but it was a fucking close game, yeah. And that kick wasn't in the most difficult kick I've ever seen. Like you said, it was the wind that had the bigger say, you know? So, I don't know.
And ass pounding of the weekend game.
What, not? We're going back to the Bulls and Leon, are we?
No, we're going to the Bordeaux Saracens.
The Bordeaux Beagles and Saracens, yeah.
Holy shit.
First of all, Bordeaux are class. I only watched the highlights for this game, by the way. I didn't watch the full game. But Saracens, they look a bit like a shell recently of a team.
They're just...
Well, Owen Farrell didn't play, which is a big deal.
They got players that are aging. And I think they have the new guys that are coming through are not ready to take the helm yet.
Mm.
Right? So,
but are they good enough to be the Saracens team of 5 years ago where they were winning Champions Cups and things? You know?
I think you're gonna see kind of an Exeter kind of situation.
Mm.
Like next year they're gonna be better than they were this year, but not...
I think this is the start of the end for Saracens, to be honest. I really do. Like, you know, losing Farrell. Toje's going as well, isn't he?
I think he's staying.
Is he? I can't remember.
But I know that the... was it Mako Vonopola is going to go?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a bunch of players that are on that. Like, who's their starting fullback?
Alex Good?
Yeah, how old is he?
He's not young.
No.
But he's already won everything. Do you know, bless him, he was trying stuff. Like, he was trying to do stuff. He was like, give me the ball, I'll do Alex Good things. And then he was just running into fucking brick walls, you know? So and then Saracens historically are a really physical team.
Yeah, and...
They just didn't look physical.
This happens... This is not a unique thing either. Because, like, if you look at all, like, good, like, dominant dynasty teams...
Yeah.
That have been persistently good for a long time...
Yeah.
In all sports, that happens. They keep the core group together, but then those guys get old.
They do.
Right? And then you have to start... And every single team does this too that has a situation. They always wait too long.
They do.
They wait too long, and then they have to like do basically a rebuild, and they go through a couple of like rough years.
Yeah, the best teams are the ones who recognize the writing on the wall before those guys leave, right? The problem in Wales was everyone left at once, you know? But the writing was on the wall as well. Like, we should have done a lot more. I think with Saracens, they have had a bit of a staggered, bit more of a staggered leaving party. But they've got one or two, like someone like Owen Farrell is world class. He's a huge loss, you know? Like, he is a huge
loss. He's also getting older.
He is getting older, yeah.
Yeah, because like the Saracens were the spine of England.
They were.
For a long time.
Yeah, totally. Right? Yeah.
So you're not going to give up these players.
No.
These players have been proven. They're proven warriors.
Yeah.
Right? So it was kind of hard. They're probably fan favorites.
Yeah.
Like Saracens have fans, right?
I don't think so. But if they did, they would be fan favorites, yeah.
It's like everyone at the stadium is a Saracens fan. And then after that, that's it.
I think they're just guys who work in London finance who've been given a ticket and they go and get pissed up with their mates, you know?
Saracens.
That's who goes to watch Saracens games.
Saracens is also one of those teams, like if you don't know anything about rugby or anything and then you become a rugby fan, you become a Saracens fan.
But here's the thing though, I think that's changing. I think you're going to see less people who know nothing about rugby wearing Saracens jerseys around the streets. You know?
Isn't that what I just said?
You said they are a team that everyone cheers for if they don't. I think that's going to change now. I think they're losing that international appeal, you know?
Oh, you think so?
I think so.
They kind of got that, like, what's that team, that soccer team? Arsenal?
Yeah.
You know, like every other guy here is an Arsenal fan because they've heard of Arsenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saracens kind of have that appeal.
They do. Although what I'm saying is they used to. I think they're losing that now.
You think they're losing that?
Yeah, I think so.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, we'll see.
But... Like, yeah, because, like, if you see someone who or, like, especially here, like, in North America, it's a North American thing.
Yeah.
Like, North American fans, like, yeah, they'll be like, oh, yeah, Saracens. Yeah.
A great team.
Yeah. And then Arsenal.
Yeah.
And then the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
That's how it goes then. But
we should say Bordeaux are very fucking good at rugby, though.
Yeah.
But their branding isn't very good. I don't like their badge. their name sounds like a dog from Bordeaux. I'm not going to buy a Bordeaux Beagles jersey.
They got some operators, though.
They're class. They're amazing. They just need to work on their branding.
Yeah.
Maybe they could be the Bordeaux Wolves.
The Bordeaux Wolves.
Steal Leon's little picture. I'm taking the piss out of a club which probably has hundreds of thousands of years of history, you know?
Like, so. Even, like, yeah, because they got, like, Pinot there.
Mm.
Like, who's that other winger that was playing for France that fucking rocked it out, too? Their back three is fucking...
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good, yeah. There was some excellent French displays this weekend, actually. Like, France rugby is back.
Yeah. Have they ever gone away?
No, that's true. They have never gone away.
Top 14 teams.
No, you're right. I think it's changed a bit, though. Like, some of the teams who... Racing aren't what they used to be.
Yeah, that's true. Racing isn't. La Rochelle.
Yeah, they definitely dipped, haven't they?
But La Rochelle kind of had like a 2 years or 2 or 3 years where they're kind of like really good. They're still really good, though.
They are. They were like Exeter. They kind of came up from nowhere, you know? They climbed the ranks.
Yeah, that is true.
They bucked the trend, you know?
I think when O'Gara...
Yeah.
When O'Gara showed up on site there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of whipped that team
He
around.
Did. Yeah, fair play to him. I never know. How do Irish people feel about O'Gara? Because I always sometimes feel like some people hate him and some people love him.
I think they love him.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, he's not fucking with Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, he's fucking with Leinster, right? Which the rest of Ireland...
Dubliners
is probably,
don't like him.
Yeah.
Because him and Sexton had beef, didn't they?
Yeah.
For a long time.
So, yeah. like Cork fans would fucking love him.
Oh, I bet. Oh, yeah, of course they do.
Yeah.
I love him. I think he's a bit of a bell end sometimes, but I like bell ends in rugby. We need a bit of personality, you know?
I like how he talks, too. Like when he talks about the coaching and running the team and stuff, I love his like philosophy.
He's very honest as well.
Yeah,
he doesn't fuck around.
Yeah, he's straight to the point.
Yeah.
and he puts a lot of thought into what goes on in that club.
Yeah,
yeah, I like him all around.
Me too. He's got a really good French as well. I don't speak French, but
does he?
He sounds very good when he speaks French. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, very sexy.
All right, yeah. Leinster, Leicester. Fuck, I don't know how I'm gonna say these two teams over and over again without fucking it up.
Why don't you call it Dublin versus Leicester?
Oh, well, I can do that.
I can say it, so it's not a problem for me.
Leicester just didn't have the ammo.
I thought this would happen. I've seen.
I think everyone thought this was going to happen.
Yeah, I did predict it as well. But like Leinster I think they've got, they're still kind of in the, we've got a point to prove. I think I saw James Lowe the other day before this game saying he's lost 3 Champions Cup finals, which is a pretty poor mark against his name. He's, you know, he's talking slightly sarcastically because being in 3 Champions Cup finals is a hell of an achievement. But they obviously have a point to prove from last season. They're not taking any prisoners. They're taking it very seriously. They've got a very well-oiled team there. Like Leicester had to really play a hell of a game to beat them, and they just didn't. Like they put up a fight for a first sort of 40 minutes, I think. But
Leinster's a team that like a lot of people love to hate.
Yeah, and to me
there's
too,
a lot of like animosity, like with them. Like yes, you're right. Like they've been to the finals in the URC and in the Champions Cup year after year.
Yeah,
like for the last like what. Almost 10 years
they're always there or
they're
thereabouts.
Always there. Yeah, that's a really successful team. Now they've like I think they've won the Champions Cup
four times,
but I think in the last
but not recently
years,
though,
in
right?
the last 10 years I think they won it in 2016.
Yeah, I think so.
I can't remember.
I think that sounds right.
And they won the URC twice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think they get a lot of warranted hate for how successful they are, right? Because they haven't won the championships, but they're always at the top of the table.
They feel like a team like what do you call it, a dynasty? They feel like a dynasty team who haven't won as much as they should have, right? Everyone thinks of them as like the most successful European club team or the best, maybe the best club team in the world, but they have kind of choked
that talk,
last few years.
That's the talk that goes against them because everyone calls them like the best team in Europe.
Yeah, but they haven't. Right?
They haven't won any championships in a long time.
And you know they could as well. Right? That's the thing.
So I think people get really upset. Like, oh, you're saying they're so good that where's their championships, right?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I don't care about that. Like,
but the narrative should be like, they're a really good team.
They are really one of the best teams definitely
in Europe.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. And they've got a point to prove, right? It's like, we know we're good enough to win this.
They're consistently like always good.
Yeah.
right? Being consistently always good makes you a good fucking team. It and does. One of the best teams.
They're very good at bringing and rotating players, bringing in new players, keeping that, you know, everyone talks about their academy, right? They're really good at, you know, bringing young players in and looking after them and giving them the right amount of game time and stuff, you know? But yeah, I don't know what else to say about that, really. It was a little bit predictable. I'm glad it wasn't a hammering, but it always felt inevitable, that game.
Yeah, they just started, like, yeah, it was like one of those games where Leinster, like, the game starts off and both teams are kind of in it, and then Leinster just slowly starts, like, dragging away. They start pulling away.
They know how to pick you apart, don't they? Because they can do everything in every part of the field. So if you make a mistake in one area, they'll exploit it. And then the other side of the field, you make a mistake, they'll exploit it. Jameson Gibson-Park as well.
Hat trick.
He's class, man. He's definitely... he looks about 40, and I don't think
it's
he is.
It's his hair.
It's definitely his hair.
He needs to shave his head.
And he needs to sort of wax the beard or something. It looks like he doesn't...
His beard's too wild, and his hair is... He's got math teacher hair. he's got this math teacher haircut. And he needs to do something. But he's...
Yeah.
Man, right now, like, he's got to be the...
He's the best nine.
Like, he's just...
It's the speed as well. It's not necessarily like the DuPont... doing footsie around people. It's just he wants to be at the next breakdown before it's happened.
Yeah,
he's imagining the next break. It's like a Formula One driver thinking about two turns ahead, you know? Like, he's not thinking about the turn he's on. He's like, I'm getting that ball.
That was
out.
Like a call from Leinster to get that guy.
They're really good at finding sort of diamonds in the rough in New Zealand, aren't they? It's like, he's a bit good. We can make him better in Northern Hemisphere rugby.
Right? They kind of see something that...
Someone else doesn't, eh?
Also, yeah. There's such quality coming out of New Zealand.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much quality. Like, guys, there's guys that, like, yeah, because, like, making the All Blacks, like... can be arguably, like, are they the best players in New Zealand, right? Because they have so many good players.
They do.
Right? It's really up to the coach's preference,
That's
right?
What I was going to say. Everyone's so good. It's not a case of who's better than who. It's how do you, what style are you trying to play?
Yeah.
That is how it dictates how you pick an All Black, right?
So they have fucking just, like, loads. So for them to, like, nab him.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know. Because I think he's a straight project player. I don't know if Gibson Park has any Irish heritage at all.
I have no idea.
Right?
No.
Like, I don't know. Like, because I think him and James Lowe are, like, the two guys on the...
Oh, I don't think James Lowe does he? Because he played for the Maori All Blacks, didn't he?
No, he doesn't either. So I think those are the two, like, straight old Bundiaki too.
Right.
Those are three project players.
I'm not sure. Aki felt more like he came to Connor to help out, and he just loves it there. And he's stayed because he loves living in Ireland. That's the vibe I got.
Yeah.
You know?
But these are guys, like, because I know, like, when they look for...
What do you mean by project player?
Okay, so...
Maybe I'm barking
like,
up the wrong tree.
When those teams are, like, Scotland, Ireland, England, when they start looking at players, scouting players from, like, Super Rugby or anywhere else...
They get them with the intention of them playing for the national squad.
They look... That's part of the thing, right? So what they would do is there would be, like... what's his name? Finley Beelam.
Uh-huh. Calvin Nash, what's he called? Mac Hansen,
right? These are people that are qualified already.
Yeah.
Right? So they already have qualification to play for Ireland.
Yeah.
So they'll specifically look for those players, right? Like, okay, you qualify for Ireland already. A project player is just a guy, has no relation to the
nation.
Right. They just pick him because he's good.
Yeah.
And then eventually they get him into the squad.
Which I think
I don't know if
case.
That's the exact project player. I just made that term up. Like, I've heard it before.
I don't know if
it's an actual... But I think a project player is a guy that you just pick from another nation and then just basically, like, get him into the system.
Sounds like you're one of those girlfriends who wants to fix a man with no job and a weed addiction. Which Jameson Gibson-Park looks like.
Yeah.
You know?
Poor guy.
He's class, though. Anyway, stop body shaming his hair and say that he's a good rugby player, which he is. Really good. Best nine in the world.
Yeah.
Unironically. Very good.
And also, I think you're right. I don't think there was anyone seeing Leicester pull one out here.
No.
They were kind of fucked.
Some diehard Leicester fans maybe, but I just couldn't see it.
Now let's talk about another one, sad one for me here.
No, you watched Northampton. This was my most anticipated game of the weekend, which I didn't even bloody watch. So tell me about Northampton Munster.
Northampton are fit as fuck.
You know, fit in the UK means like sexy.
Okay, they are. They're sexy too.
Yeah.
Man, they're... what's the word I'm looking for? Another word like fitness. They're...
conditioned?
Like, conditioning is unreal.
Really?
Fuck, they were just all over the place. They just had so much energy. And like Munster looked fucking tired. I guess like there was some stuff too. Like Munster, I guess like a flu went through Munster team. Yeah. So like Craig Casey. Yeah, he like threw up on the field.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was sick.
Oh.
Right?
Poor little Craig.
And man, Munster's missing so many fucking guys too.
I don't know how to feel about Munster because on one hand, I felt like they didn't really deserve to be in the knockout stages.
No.
Like,
yeah, that's true too. They should be happy to be there.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that too.
And it's all similarly in the URC, they have been very hot and cold. So I'm going to skin my dog a second. Sorry.
Oh, you're recording again. Okay. Dog dramas now.
He is. Oh, I love my dog, but I'm going to have to sell him for glue now.
When your wife's not here for her to like, keep him under control or so fucked.
When she leaves, he thinks he has to guard the house. So like, even if like a seagull flies by, you think, I'm going to fuck it. I'm going to kill that seagull. How dare you? Which is what all dogs do, to be fair.
Okay, so back to Munster, Northampton. So yeah, there was like they were so fit.
Yeah.
Like there was a point where they scored off a scrum.
Yeah.
And when you're watching the play, like the scrum happens, the scrum ends, the whole pack is already, Northampton pack is already spread across the field.
Dispersed.
Right. And the Munster pack is just sitting there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fuck. Yeah. It's over with. Like, right. Like they were just, they were getting the ball out wide. They played really well. And I thought like Munster came out like the first half, they were pretty competitive.
Uh-huh.
But after that, but they're, you know, they're missing Jean Klein, Edwin Adogbo, fucking RG Snyman again.
Yeah.
And Calvin Nash wasn't there.
Yeah.
What's it? Daly wasn't there. Like, they're missing so many players.
Yeah.
Fuck. RG Snyman has to be the worst signing.
Big money signing as well.
Ever. Yeah. Like, for any club ever.
I think I heard the statistic. It might be wrong, but I think I heard this. He's never started the game in Thomond Park.
Do you know, okay, get this. Do you know how many games in four seasons he's been with Munster? You know how many games he's played?
I think you told me, but I forgot.
Seven.
That's not true.
He's played seven games. Look it up.
I believe you. But
yeah. He's never played a home game.
It's too, yeah, sounds unbelievable.
Do you know how many games he's played for South Africa in that time?
Quite a lot.
11. So he's played 11 games.
Yeah.
He's played more games. Like I read today that he it averages out for his Munster contract like 300,000 euros a game. Like,
yeah, he went over there, had a barbecue, burnt his leg off, and sat there earning 300 grand a game.
Like, it just, what a fucking disaster. Yeah.
Don't worry, he's going to Leinster next year.
I know, I hope. And watch, he'll be like fit every game.
Well, they look after guys there.
Right? He'll be like,
they won't let him near a barbecue.
Every fucking game.
Yeah. Like, what is it about South Africans and not hysterical, but missing, you know, like Rassie Erasmus burnt his arm with chemicals. And Damien Delende and RG Snyman burned themselves on a barbecue. It's like, you know, I'm not a normal injury. Like,
I think South Africans and barbecuing and shit
go hand in hand, don't they?
I think they use, I don't know what the fuck they do, that they just pouring fucking chemicals and
running gasoline over the flames.
They just grab a bunch of like cleaning product cans from the kitchen.
We're gonna have a braai.
Just start fucking throwing them.
Why
in the
have
fire?
You got a handful of fireworks? We're gonna have a braai. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, the fuck. Yeah, there's something about burning themselves.
Fucking love it, don't they?
Yeah, fire and South Africans is a mix.
Team of arsonists.
Yeah. Also, like other like South Africans in the leagues too. Like Kitsoff has been kind of a blah.
Yeah.
For Ulster,
he has.
Khaleesi's been like, fuck, he just got injured in the last game.
He did.
So these guys like they get paid big money, come over, and they just get fucking injured.
That's kind of how you play the system, though.
And then when the box come calling, they're like, I am healed. Like, fucking Jesus is coming out, like, oh.
Just got stakes strapped to their knees. Yeah. I'm ready.
Like, I'm here. I'm ready for you, Springboks. Like, what the fuck?
I don't hate that, bro.
Perfect health.
I don't hate that. Something about it, which I like, I don't know. Something about it, I kind of weirdly respect, just the skullduggery of it. You know, it's like, I'm going there for the paycheck, but when my homeland calls, fuck me, I'm playing. Yeah. I don't give a shit.
When I read that those numbers with fucking RG Snyman today.
Yeah.
Because I read that today. I was like, fucking seven games?
That's mental.
I was like, what the fuck? And 11 times for the Springboks?
Yeah.
300,000 pounds?
Yeah. Euros.
Euros. Yeah. 300,000 euros per game. Almost, it was like 218 something. Thousand euros.
It's a lot of money.
But fuck, what a fucking letdown.
Yeah.
But also Munster, like, fuck. Yeah.
They've been hot and cold this season.
I don't even know what to say. Like, they've just been a fucking injury riddled team.
They've had bad luck
all year.
Yeah.
Like, do you put any blame on what's his name? Roundtree?
Graham Roundtree.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you put any blame on him? Like, does he really?
I think to an extent, yes, because they're underperforming compared to, they had a really bad start to the season last year, but they climbed up that table.
Yeah.
This season, like, if they win the URC this season, it won't be on the back of consistent performances. It'll be like a couple of good wins and the knockouts, and that feels, well, they win it, they deserve it, I guess, but it doesn't feel as deserved as last year, where they really kind of played well towards the end of the season, you know.
But you made a good point that they should have been just happy to be there.
Totally, like the group stages were a joke.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a fucking joke.
It's like the Canadian Football League. You can get into the playoffs and lose every game of the season.
They won only one game.
Yeah.
Tragic. Like, if they would have beat Northampton, Northampton didn't lose a game in the pool stages,
yeah,
and then they would have just came waltzing in all fucking like.
Well, they played Northampton with their
charred up arms from being burnt up, and then just fucking win.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, on the other hand, though, like, I really like Northampton at the minute. I love that Finn Smith, Alex Mitchell thing they got going on. They're developing this like really exciting game. So like, I'm happy they're through. I think they'll struggle against Leinster, La Rochelle sort of teams, like big physical teams. But I think it'd be cool if they won it.
I think they're when you watch them play.
Yeah.
Like when a hard hitting team comes to town.
Yeah.
Their style is like built for that kind of thing. I think they've worked around that. Like,
yeah, they have.
Okay, they know teams are bigger and more physical than them.
Yeah.
So they're matched. Like, because if you see, they get that ball.
Yeah.
That ball's going back, like, from one side of the field to the other in seconds. Like, yeah, they distribute like really quick.
Yeah.
And their guys are fit. Like, I was really impressed with how fit Northampton were.
Fair play.
And how fast they were, and how they were really
fitness wins rugby games.
They were impressive to watch.
It's an old school strategy, but it's always true. If you're fitter than the other team, you've got a much better chance of winning.
And Vid Smith, like, I think this was one of the first like Northampton games I like fully watched. And yeah, he's
as good as they say.
He's impressive, man.
He's as good as and I think he outplayed Jack Crowley. Like I said, I didn't watch it. I watched the highlights and some of the things I heard, but like, he outplayed Jack Crowley, you know?
Yeah,
like,
well, Jack Crowley didn't really have much to work with in that game either.
No, it didn't sound like it.
But fuck, oh man, Finn Smith, I would say he's probably better than Jack Crowley.
That's what I heard.
He's good.
Yeah, that's the, like, that's
he's
the word
really
on the street.
Really good.
Yeah.
He also turned down Scotland. So
he did?
Yeah, for England. Yeah. Last game of the weekend, Toulouse Racing 92.
Yes, it is.
We got like three pumpins this weekend. Toulouse is going to win this tournament.
Northampton Munster wasn't a pumping. Munster were in it for most of that game.
No, I'm talking about Toulouse Racing.
Oh, Bulls Leo. Oh, fair enough.
And Bordeaux, Saracens. The Beagles, the Bagels.
Yeah.
And yeah. So
this Toulouse are fucking going to win it, man.
Yeah.
Toulouse are going to win this competition.
Let's just be honest. Like,
whoa.
Yeah.
That's a team. Like, that is an
amazing. And then,
it's hard to tell if Racing were bad, because Toulouse just made them look silly sometimes. You know?
That team's just got money all over it.
Oh, it's, you know, an Entomac and DuPont back together.
Oh,
it's like written in the stars, isn't it? Like the ultimate 9-10 combo. Like, I can't wait for them to.
And man, Entomac like just came back hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's been in a fucking cryo chamber. Fuck. Not fucking, yeah, like that guy was
imagine
ready.
He was fit for the fucking World Cup,
the Six Nations.
Or the Six Nations or the World Cup?
Yeah.
He was out for both.
He was.
Yeah, because it was a year ago.
It was a long injury.
Yeah, yeah, I think it was a year ago that he got...
It's
been a year. He's been out now.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. Like, such an impressive player.
He breaks the line as well. Like, reminds me of Marcus Smith. I think he's better than Marcus Smith.
This Jack Willis guy, too.
Yeah.
That's on the Toulouse.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, he's an operator, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's a fucking hard man.
He is.
And what a loss for England. Because, like... He is.
Oh, I guess he doesn't get picked for England.
No,
now,
he
does
can't.
He? Yeah.
He's fucking awesome.
He is class, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like he's made of scaffolding. It's just like hard as nails kind of guy, isn't he?
Man, just look at this team. Like, I'm just looking at this fucking lineup here.
Yeah.
Like, Francois Crowe. Like,
yeah.
He's fucking like this. This is.
These guys are the new Toulon. They're the new Toulon.
Yeah.
You know, the big money, but actually really good as well.
I don't think anyone's going to beat them in this tournament. I don't think Leinster, like, they're going to fucking.
Yeah, they do a lot of the same things as Leinster, like really quick breakdown speed, really attractive. But they just, like, Toulouse just feel like magical. Like, they've got a real X factor, don't they?
Yeah.
They could just tear you apart from wherever they want.
But
well, I'd say the same thing about Leinster, but, you know, that's another story.
But they got, like, oh, man.
Yeah. But, I didn't enjoy watching that game, which is the first thing I said when we started recording.
Well, it did get cut off, too.
That's probably, maybe I blanked that out of my memory. But, like, even when we were watching it, I was a bit disengaged because, like, either Racing weren't playing as well as I hoped they would and Toulouse were just tearing him apart. It just felt one-sided, you know, which is a bit disappointing.
Yeah, I thought the game was going to be more competitive.
Me too. But yeah. I thought Toulouse would win, but yeah.
Watching that game, you're just like, everyone's like, fuck, like, these guys are like so on the ball.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So a good weekend of rugby, I think. I love this stage of the Champions Cup as well. Like, this is like the big boys are in town. And
I almost have an argument that like the Champions Cup should just be a knockout stage.
Just go straight to
like no pool stages. This is too much rugby, right? Like, why play all these games? Just put them like you have 24 teams and then they just do a knockout stages and then they get smaller, like a pyramid, and just get smaller and smaller and smaller.
I don't hate that.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't hate it. I think it's great.
Yeah. There is a lot of rugby going on.
There's a lot of rugby. You can cut out a bunch of games and then every game counts.
Yeah.
Right. So every game.
There were some duds in the pool stages as well, weren't there? There were some real duds.
Right. So every game you could possibly, like, because if you're in the knockout stages and a team wins that they didn't think they were going to win, they're going to probably take it even more serious because they see how far they can go.
The pool stage is ridiculous. Just make the competition smaller. Just slightly, like, six teams is fine from the league, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
You don't have to have this last, what do they call it now? The one before the quarterfinals, like the last round of 16 or something. It's even a mouthful. They call it that, and then it's the quarterfinal, even though it's part of the knockout stages.
Yeah,
right?
Like, it's kind of shitty, but
yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't be sad if they just went to a knockout. 24 teams knockout.
I'm gonna have to think about that. I initially I was like, what?
The problem with what I'm saying is that those teams want those home games. They want those ticket sales.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, they do.
So I know, like, if you're going to do a knockout, you can just draw.
Well, also, it's a lot easier to win at home, isn't
it? Cause, like, yeah, because you might not get home advantage or, like, because those teams want home games because they want those ticket sales.
Knockout sales, knockout games, all in neutral venues. And Leinster can do that thing where they pretend the Aviva is a neutral venue.
Yeah.
And everyone's happy.
So I don't know. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
Talk about, like, we're going to keep going about club rugby.
This is a really good segue into the proposed Rugby World Cup Club World Cup Rugby Cup. Which I'm very...
The Rugby Club World, Curled Club, Crowl...
Not only do I fucking hate this idea, it's already a fucking hassle to say it. Rugby Union's first Club World Cup set to be staged in June 2028... How are they doing it? By shaving off the top of the Champions Cup. You know that bit you love about the Champions Cup where the best teams in Europe and South Africa of Duke... No, fuck that. Don't worry about it. It's not going to happen. It's such a blue ball thing. Like, we're nearly there. We're going to have a... I'm not going to say that. But, you know, you get so excited about these knockouts and then they just don't happen and you've got to wait until the Super Rugby's finished. Like, fuck that. Awful idea.
Yeah, because they're going to go into the... Like, they're going to do the, they're going to get to the knockout stages and they're going to stop.
Yeah.
And then those teams go to the Club World Cup.
Yeah.
Now, do you know if it's going to be like at all at one place? Are they going to, is there going to be a host city or are teams going to be traveling all over the fucking place?
I heard that it will initially just be in Europe, like all the Super Rugby teams who've made their respective knockout whatevers.
Like, they're not going to go for that.
They're going to be jet lagged and playing, like, it's not equitable. You have to play it in a neutral venue that isn't in Oceania, like, is there
gonna
or be, Europe.
Are they going to play in the summer where there's going to be a fucking, like, host city or host country and it's
so
going to be like a World
Cup? It's such a bad idea. Like, you want to, it's like...
We're not being real friends of rugby right now.
We hate rugby now. We hate rugby, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like cramming more rugby into an already packed calendar with something that sounds so bad logistically that's purely to make money from as far as I can tell. To answer some vague questions someone has on a Saturday night out with them, wouldn't it be cool to watch Leinster versus Crusaders, the best? Yeah, but like that's a nice idea. It's an exhibition game. It's not, doesn't need to be a whole fucking competition, you know?
Also, the scary thing when I first heard about this concept, and I heard about it a few years ago.
Yeah.
The first thing that came to my mind that this could be the death of Test rugby.
Yeah.
Because you got to think about it like at a financial way, because
if it's successful, it threatens the international.
Yes,
game.
Because the thing is, these team owners are paying tons of money for these players.
Yeah.
Right? And then they go off to play for the countries and they get fucked up and they lose these players.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And now with this club World Cup, these owners and stuff keep their investment, keep making money off their investment.
Get prestige globally by winning it potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a point.
And it's like I would personally, like, yeah, like when I think about it, it's like a direct threat to like Test rugby because of the money and the profit behind it.
Yeah.
Right. So like team owners will probably be salivating for something like this. Right.
Yeah.
Cause I bet you team owners, like I bet you there's a lot of team owners that fucking hate Test rugby cause they put all this money up for players.
Yeah. Someone like Boujalal, the Toulon owner, like he hated losing guys to, I think they all do though, don't they? They're all millionaires who put money into a club and they lose their best players that they paid for. Yeah.
And like, it's, you know, like, a big thing about the NHL is a perfect example of this, right? The money has closed out international hockey.
Yeah, I think
so. You're never going to have a tournament where the best play because of the amount of money that's invested in these players in the NHL. They have them on lockdown.
Yeah.
So like this World Cup, like, yeah, it's just
there's when I moved to Canada, right? And you've got this guy Connor McDavid, who's like a once in a generation wonder kid, and you're never going to see him play for Canada. That is mental. And my wife will go like, oh, but we have the juniors. It's like, I don't give a fuck about the juniors. I want to see your best players competing against the best
teams
in the world.
Think, like, that's what I think is worrisome. Like that Six Nations will just be like an under-20s amateur thing.
Oh,
like,
don't.
Like that's
scare
what I can
me.
See. Because like, I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen when you like start pouring money, like when money gets involved when things like this. Like that's why I was like kind of like I always had to kind of worry too if like if United States ever got like really big into rugby, they would just lock out everyone,
right? They'd buy up all the best players and
buy
not
up
let
all
them
the best
play internationals
and then just lock them up, and then like your only hope for a good international like test and stuff, it's all amateur stuff, it's all like under 20s, under 18s, right? Because the only quality international ice hockey we get is from the junior tournament,
and it's boring. Well, it's not boring. Well, it's exciting. You get to cheer for your country, but it's like you want to see the best players you've got playing against each other, right?
It's not
like,
boring. It's really exciting, but we've been gaslit to think that this is the best that we can.
And that's when I moved here. It's like you are gaslit because I came and tried to explain the majesty and beauty of not just international rugby, but international football. And you guys are like, oh, we've got the world, we've got the hockey juniors. Like, it's not the fucking same.
No, it's not the same.
It's not nearly
it's not
the same.
The best, like, the best. It's the best of the best kids.
Yeah. But I don't even know who these kids are. They've been, you know.
So I think that's a scary, like the club World Cup thing, like overshadowing, because like, oh, well, you know what, we'll just keep going in the summer with these clubs, and you know, we'll have less test matches, we don't need all these summer tours and stuff because we got clubs right coming over.
And I love club rugby, but I like that there's a good amount of, there's probably more following of international rugby. Let me tell you a story though about football at soccer, right? They already have an international World Club Cup competition, right? And it's shit and no one likes it. So at least I think hopefully that follows the same trajectory. Like if you get the Crusaders to play Leinster, like historically two of the best clubs in the world that never play each other, and you know they play each other in this kind of competition format, and it's not like this titanic battle. It's really one sided because one of them's jet lagged or one of them is saving their players for the winning the domestic league. That those logistics come into play. And it's not the matchup you thought it is, and everyone loses interest immediately, right? Because it's not this clash of the Titans and settles all these arguments. It's like, actually, it was a bit of a letdown. It's like when Munster played Crusaders, and Crusaders basically bought a development team and kind of got easily beaten, and everyone was like, oh, that's the answer to that then, you know? I don't care about that anymore.
I don't mind a situation where, okay, let's say the winner of the Champions Cup does a one-off with the winner of Super Rugby.
That's a good idea, but you'd have to match them almost immediately when they're both at the end of their season so that they're both on form, playing their best rugby. You can't because the season's at different times. You can't have one who's mid-season and one who's at the top of the season. They're playing a different type of rugby, right? The intensity, the emotional intensity is totally different. Mm. They both have to meet each other at the right time for it to be answering that question of who's better. And that logistically is a nightmare, never mind all the rest of it, right? And also, why are we trying to cram more rugby in? I'm happy with what we got. There's rugby every fucking weekend, and it's great. You know? We don't need any more.
Need the Club World Cup.
Yeah.
The Club World Cup Club. Club World World Club.
You know what I would like to see, though? Southern Hemisphere Lions. That's the thing I've got time for.
Yeah, let's do that instead.
I've got time for
that. That's a way better idea.
I notice. I'm a genius.
Southern Hemisphere Lions.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they can do it. Yeah, they can... Oh, fuck. That'd be sick.
That'd be amazing. And they'd win all the time. And then we'd have arguments about it. Like, who's going to beat him? I'd love that.
I would hate to be the coach of the Southern Hemisphere Lions.
That would suck, yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, who would you pick?
We did that, though. Do you remember we did it about 10 episodes ago? We did our, like, Southern Hemisphere Lions team.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. Oh, and it was, like, basically, it's South African pack and Kiwi backs.
Yeah, so I think that's like most likely what you would end up with.
Yeah. Right? Although, having said that, like, there was some... You know, like someone like Brody Retallick in his prime would.
Yeah.
Kieran Reid is definitely in that fucking squad as well.
Artie Savea. Playing.
Yeah. And I think we put him in there. So, you know, anyway, point is like, that's what, if you're going to do something new and teamy in rugby, that's what I've got time for.
Mm-hmm.
Southern Hemisphere Lions, you know.
I was reading something else about, there was an article on Rugby Pass.
Mm.
I forget who it was by, but he made a good point about some, like, he was talking about Super Rugby.
Yeah.
And I guess like fans and viewership's down and stuff and stadiums are empty. I don't know who the guy was that wrote the article.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah.
It probably is when you look on TV. But he made an interesting suggestion that Super Rugby should join up with Top League in Japan.
It wouldn't happen because Top League, I don't think people realize Top League isn't like a normal sports league. It's a bunch of companies in Japan who put these games on as entertainment for their workers and have a lot of fucking money to do it. So it's really not an easy fit.
But I think that appeal...
It sounds fun.
Like that appeal sounds and cool. I think that the money behind it... Like I know the Japanese would probably be into that because I know...
They don't like rugby as much as people think.
Man, they fucking love... They're packing up like the...
Those guys are probably forced to go to those games. I'm not... Like they're probably the company bosses like you gotta go.
The Sunwolves.
Yeah.
That weren't owned...
Yeah.
By like Coca-Cola or Honda you know, or Sony or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Losing every game.
Uh-huh.
They just get trashed every game.
Yeah.
Sold out every fucking game.
Why'd they fold though?
Because there was a bunch of drama... They didn't fold because of financial reasons.
Oh, really? I thought they did.
No.
Fair enough.
They folded because there was some sort of drama with Sanzar and the people that run the top league. There was some drama. There was drama there. I know a guy that lives in Japan. He's a Kiwi.
Yeah.
Lives in Japan, and he actually was doing some work with players or something like that. Like he was like helping them integrate into Japan or something like that. He was doing something like that.
Yeah.
And so there was like because I was like, oh man, were they went under or like what, you know, but there were some kind of logistical like issues between Sanzar and top league. Yeah. So it wasn't because of money.
Okay.
Cause fans were showing up.
Yeah.
No matter how they played. When Japan had a player after the 2015 World Cup,
Goromaru. The guy who did the kicking thing this.
Yeah, he got signed by the Rebels.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of something different.
Yeah, he went to the Rebels or the Reds. I can't remember this.
Yeah, no, I think that might have been Goromaru. Yeah.
They had full-time journalists from Japan go there.
Yeah.
And their only job was to basically report on him, how he was doing there.
Yeah.
And they were there the whole time he was there. And he barely got on the field.
Yeah.
And then, I can't remember if it's the Rebels or the Reds. They also got sponsorship deals from Japan.
Yeah.
Because they wanted this guy's playing there and stuff like that. So I don't know. I thought it was a great idea and it would help out Super Rugby.
Yeah.
Just grow. It would help rugby grow in that area even more. And it would solidify their competition more too.
It would. Although the top league is the best players in there are a bunch of Kiwis who should be playing Super Rugby. So
yeah.
Go home.
But now that everyone's playing Super Rugby, right? Everyone's home.
Yeah. Maybe Japan had become like the France of that area though, because they'd have all the money and they just buy all the Kiwis.
They would be.
Yeah.
But fuck, they still wouldn't win it all the time.
No, I don't think they would.
I don't think they would be able to,
because New Zealand make that many good players, don't they?
Yeah. You can take all the New Zealand players. They'll just have another one coming out the door.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah. As soon as one player leaves, another fucking rock star just shows up. Like, remember when they were struggling at hooker?
Yeah.
And then that fucking kid just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and he was class. I know exactly what you mean. I can't remember his name.
Right? It was like during the, I think it was like the Ireland tour.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the line out. Okay, we'll just bring this guy in now.
Yeah, don't worry. He's amazing.
Yeah, they have was it in like Lord of the Rings when they're like birthing the Uruk-hai?
Just pull him out of the mud.
Yeah, pull him out of the mud and then screaming. There's like a new rugby player.
Yeah. Just painting the All Blacks jersey on him.
That's how it fucking is. Yeah. Because they have like an endless supply.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be worried about that either. They can fucking buy all the players they want.
Yeah, right? I don't hate that idea. Like I don't hate that. I think that'd be cool actually. I'm just saying the logistics of it are probably more complicated than it just being an easy thing. You know, I will say though, you know what I'm saying about that Japanese guy playing in Australia and all the journalists following around. When I lived in Japan, they love when Japanese people are famous overseas, and it's on the news all the time. Like, I remember when Ken Watanabe, that actor from The Last Samurai, was kind of famous and did some Western films and still does.
Yeah.
They're like, if he fucking sneezed, he was on the news. Like, look what Americans think of Ken Watanabe. Like, and there's like, they ask Americans on the street in Tokyo, what do you think about him? He's like, oh, yeah, he's okay. And like, oh, it's amazing. They love him. You know? So they would love that. They love knowing what other people think about Japanese people. You know? Yeah.
And they also love rugby.
I don't think they like rugby as much as you think.
Fuck. They love rugby. I was at the World Cup.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, they're fans who go. They love rugby.
They're fans.
No, their fans are awesome fans.
They got a lot of fans.
They clean up after themselves.
Yeah.
Very clean people.
They do. They clean up.
But
it's
I'm
so
just
weird.
Saying rugby is not a big game in Japan. That's what I'm saying.
That's such a big thing. You just made me think of something. Yeah. Because I can't believe you even thought of this. When I was in Japan, like after the games,
yeah,
the Japanese people are cleaning up the stands. They're grabbing all the garbage. They're grabbing other garbage that someone left behind.
Yeah.
And then when I'm in France, people are like smoking cigarettes,
pissing, shitting,
and they're
the
literally
seats.
Pissing like just outside the stands. Like they're pissing everywhere, throwing garbage.
I love both things though. I love both of those things.
What a night and day experience that was.
I love the French disregard for anything and just having a party, and I love the Japanese respect thing. You know, because in Japan, I'll stop wittering about this in a hot minute, but when I worked in the school there, there's no janitors. The kids clean up the classroom every day, and it's not like a quick wipe of the they fucking clean.
Yeah, I've seen that.
They fucking clean the school every fucking day for like an hour.
Yeah,
you know. And there's no sometimes they'll be like sweep the floor, and it's like it's clean. It was swept every day.
We can do a podcast on Japan, like random stuff Japan does.
Yeah. It was cool though. You know, free labor as well.
All right, let's make some predictions.
All right.
Okay, so I'll just go off the list here. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, first game of the weekend for the Champions Cup, Bordeaux, Harlequins. Harlequins are going to Bordeaux.
Those tenacious old Beagles, I think. I like Harlequins, but they're not going to win that game.
Absolutely, 100%. They're not going to win this. Bordeaux, they're fucked.
Yeah.
They are actually fucked.
Yeah.
Like, Bordeaux's like fucking... Yeah,
we're gonna like idiots, but I'm pretty confident about that prediction.
I'm not gonna call it. I don't even think it's gonna be like that competitive.
Really?
No, I'm gonna call it. I'm gonna be hardcore on this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay, here we go. Leinster, La Rochelle.
Ooh.
Man, they can't escape each other.
The game of the century.
There's these long like star-crossed lovers.
Yeah, but do you know what? La Rochelle have had Leinster's number. Leinster rock up like fucking big dick swinging, and La Rochelle will do something cheeky last minute to win the game, you know. So that's it is in Dublin though.
Yeah, it is.
It's in Dublin.
They're playing at home at the Aviva Stadium.
Ooh, that is a hard game to call.
I can't.
Oh, that's a hard game
I
to call.
Really don't know. You know what? I'm gonna.
I'm going Leinster because I don't think they've lost a game in a long fucking time. Whereas La Rochelle's league record is not great right now.
Haven't, but fuck, La Rochelle is a hard team. They're not the best team right now, but they're fucking like they've been getting better.
Mm.
Oh man.
No, I'm going Leinster. I think for two reasons, home advantage and because Leinster just are on a bit of a streak. And their class. Both teams are class.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to go Leinster too.
Yeah.
You convinced me. You sold me. You easy. Sold me.
That was easy.
Oh, man, this is the game I have to watch.
Northampton Bulls.
I have to watch this game.
In sunny old Northampton, eh?
Yeah. Well, it's on at 1 p.m.
It says 3 p.m. on my thing.
Oh, does it? Well, yeah. You got computers fucked. Yeah. But yeah. Oh, man, this is going to be a good game.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
Because Bulls are big.
Bulls are physical. Big. They're also fast. They got speed.
They
too.
Got a lot of shit. They got a lot of weapons. This would be a great game because, like you were saying, Northampton counter team's physicality by being fit and speedy and going around them. This will be the test.
Now, there's some drama too going on with the Bulls traveling.
Oh, yeah.
So their travel is all fucked up. They're going, the team is traveling on Tuesday.
Okay.
On like 9 or 10 different flights.
Why?
And there's economy. Like some of the I saw their flight schedule and their economy seats.
Why?
Because they didn't pre-book anything. So they scrambling to
that sounds like a Bulls problem.
Yeah.
To be honest.
So that is going up against they're going to be I think they might be a little bit haggard.
You know what? And this is where I lose sympathy because I never wanted the South African teams in the Champions Cup. And I know that makes me sound like a petulant dickhead.
It does.
But.
That's because you are.
And yes, but this is the time where it's you wanted to be here, you figure out your own fucking flights.
Yeah.
You know, we had to wait to find out who won this game on the weekend to figure out who's playing next weekend. This is the consequence of being thousands of miles away.
I'm going to go, oh man.
I'm going Northampton.
Man, I don't know. Bulls are... Ooh.
That is hard though. It's not an easy call.
No, it's not.
But I'm going Northampton.
I'm gonna go Northampton too.
Based on the things Northampton. You just said.
Northampton, and they're gonna send them back on economy.
They're gonna send them back on a fucking bus, mate.
Yeah, they're gonna be taking a fucking bus and a boat and another bus right through Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Northampton might slip this one.
It'd be close. Be close.
We could easily be wrong about this one.
I'm a wreck thinking about this game.
Yeah.
This is a good
game. This is the game of the weekend for me.
Yeah.
When I'm looking at these games, these are the games that I
this is what we all wanted.
Yeah.
This is not what we want when we get the World Rugby Club World Cup rugby coming
club,
in.
Club rub.
Club with the club rub. When the club rub comes in, this'll ruin this fucking part of the year. This is bullshit.
Yeah, I know. I'm already pissed.
Yeah. Speaking of not bullshit, Toulouse Exeter.
I think this is the point where the fantasy, the fairy tale of Exeter kind of ends.
I'm unironically as excited about this as I was for the start of the Six Nations. And I fucking love the Six Nations. This is amazing. Look at those fucking 8 teams.
Yeah, it's a sick.
That's amazing.
But I think Exeter, this is going to be too much for them to chew.
Yeah, Toulouse are going to win.
Yeah, Toulouse are going to fucking
win. Oh, yeah. When you were talking up Exeter's young kids developing, they're not ready yet.
No.
They have some half-baked cookies going into that game.
Yeah. And I think this is going to be Toulouse by 30 points.
I think, you know what? I'm going to double that. I think it's going to be a hammering. I think Toulouse are going to hammer Exeter. Yeah.
I think Toulouse are going to hammer Exeter and Bordeaux is going to hammer the Harlequins.
These are some bold predictions.
It is. And then, Northampton probably scraped by the Bulls and Leinster and La Rochelle.
Home advantage. That is the close. Leinster-La Rochelle is going to be the closest game. I think. Oh, this is amazing.
This is pretty sick.
Yes.
I am pretty excited for these.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, man.
I feel like I've slagged off Exeter there. I like Exeter. Good team.
I do too.
But
it's
because Toulouse are so fucking good.
Yeah, this is a step up.
Yeah.
Right? Fuck if we're wrong.
No, we're not wrong. we're never wrong. We're never wrong.
Yeah. Well.
What a fucking... Oh. What is it be now?
8 a.m. They start.
All right.
Breakfast.
See you there, mate.
Breakfast and rugby.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. Well, friends, thank you for listening to the Friends of Rugby.
That feels like an abrupt ending.
I'm just going to end it.
Can you do
that?
We talked
about everything we talked about.
I know. It just feels...
I'm segueing into the ending.
I'm emotionally peaking right now. I need a cool down or something.
You ruined the opening.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Well, it's traditional for me to ruin the fucking ending.
You ruined the ending.
My dog ruined the middle.
Your dog was just trying as hard as to destroy the podcast.
He fucking was. He's a good boy.
He probably comes in this podcast 9 times.
Yeah.
And so, well, friends, if you have any questions about our openings and endings and our segues and stuff like that.
I don't want to hear him. Fuck off.
You can email us thefriendsofrugbypod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And like and share the podcast.
Yes. All of the social medias.
All right.
Are you on Threads? Are we on Threads?
No.
Do you want to be?
We could be. All right. Have a good night, folks.
See ya.